Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay. 9:07 now. The NFL draft is coming up next week. Saints and fans, you can join Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas next Thursday for the Saints draft preview show with head coach Dennis Allen, GM Mickey Loomis, the Saints top brass, offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, defensive coordinator Joe Woods, assistant head coach, special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, plus assistant GM and vice president of college personnel Jeff Ireland, director of pro personnel Michael Parenton, national scout Terry Wooden, linebackers coach Michael Hodges, and senior offensive assistant Rick Dennison. It's the Saints draft preview next Thursday, 4 till 6. On a home of your New Orleans Saints, WWLAMFM.com, and the free Odyssey app, where this morning we're joined by Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak to take a look ahead at the draft. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. And yeah, just to follow up on what you're talking about, you know, it's going to be the first time we hear from Clint Kubiak, Rick Dennison, a lot of these guys. So it's, you know, I'm looking forward to those interviews because, you know, we've been talking about Clint Kubiak. I actually talked to Kellen Mond about this when we had him on WBL on Friday. We've been talking about Clint Kubiak for months. I don't even really know what he sounds like. I don't know what how he's gonna address questions, anything like that. So I'm looking forward to those interviews for sure.
You know what? As a matter of fact, maybe you should start there by reminding people who Clint Kubiak is and where he came from.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's the new offensive coordinator. He spent this past season with the 49ers, pass game specialist on Kyle Shanahan's staff. He was in 2022. He was with the Broncos on Nathaniel Hackett's staff, and then in 2021. He was with Mike Zimmer with the Vikings, and that's kind of where you see all these links with Kellen Mond, was the backup quarterback with the Vikings. He was a third-round pick in 2021, so you can kind of draw a line between why he was there and why he is here, and that line is Clint Kubiak.
So let's talk about the quarterback room, since you mentioned it. What's that going to look like?
Well, it's going to be interesting, right? You know, so you have Derek Carr at the, you know, he's the starter. I don't think there's any question about that. But then behind him, it's going to be the first time in 4 or 5 years that you actually have a legitimate backup quarterback competition, I think. You have Jay Kaner going into year two. You have Kellen Mond, who obviously was signed. Then you have Nathan Peterman, who was signed this offseason. He spent last year with the Bears, and Andrew Janoco is a new quarterback's coach. So I think, you know, for my money, I think the competition is going to be between Kellen Mond and Jay Kaner, because, you know, you're talking about, okay, Kellen Mond was a third-round pick of the Vikings in 2021. Jay Kaner is in the situation Kellen Mond was in 2022, where he is now a drafted quarterback with his offensive coaching staff not being the coaching staff that was around when he was drafted. So they're not going to have any kind of feeling that, oh, this is indebted to him over this guy that we actually drafted. So whoever wins that job is going to win that job, but it's not going to be a situation where you just go with Jake because he's the guy you drafted last year, just like the Vikings didn't do that in 2022. So I'm actually really interested to see that quarterback battle play out because, you know, the last several years we had Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, obviously Jameis again this past season, Taysom Hill factored in, but you always kind of knew who the backup was going to be. This year, I genuinely don't know.
That's why I like your takes, because you get into the, not personalities of it, but that's an interesting point that Haener is not Kubiak's guy, right? And that's not to say that he might not be, but there's no history there.
He's going to have to earn it.
Right.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I think in year one as a rookie quarterback, you are kind of, you're going to get a roster spot. You're not going to get cut as a rookie as a fourth-round pick because there is a level of growth that's needed at the NFL level, and you don't draft a guy saying, oh, he's either ready to play right away as a fourth-round pick or we're going to move on. In year two, I think that changes, especially when you change the coaching staff. So, you know, if you're expecting Jake Haener to kind of ride into this offseason, coast into the backup job, I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know with the departure of the previous offensive coordinator if – you really have an answer for this, but have you heard anything about the development of Haener?
I mean, I've heard he's been working hard this offseason, and I expect him to, you know, be in that competition and fare well in that competition. I was impressed with what he did as a rookie. So it's really just going to be a question. It's tough to say. You could sit here and say, yeah, everyone's doing their offseason work. Everyone's meeting with coaches and getting, you know, working on the things they were a little deficient on a year ago. And year one to year two is very important in the NFL because it's the first time you really have a full off-season program that isn't interrupted by pro days and combines and the draft. You know, all it is okay, this is what you struggled at as a rookie. This is what you need to work on. Go work on it and then come back. And so, you know, we're going to head out to Irvine and we're going to see what that looks like. But, you know, it's a lot of times you go to camp and those second and third team reps are not as exciting because it's a lot of players who probably are going to get cut. Maybe a handful of those guys can make an impact and move up the pecking order. This time, those are going to be appointment viewing because, you know, it's going to be, okay, how do you fare? You're going to be able to really track it every day. You know, like last year, Alante Taylor and Paulson Adebo were competing for the CB2 job, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's tough to track that, right? It's not like there's stats that you can look at. It's not like there's, okay, this is the read he was making, and how did he throw it? How did the ball get delivered? You can track that with a quarterback. So it's really going to be right up in your face. You're going to have preseason games where you're going to be able to tell who's ahead by who gets in the game first because that is a very clear pecking order. I think it's going to be real interesting.
So you're going in with four arms, four camp – well, I shouldn't say arms because certainly Derek Carr is not a camp arm, but you're going in with four quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I still wouldn't be stunned if they draft a quarterback. I don't think having four quarterbacks on the roster is going to impact your decision-making in the draft. But you do feel like you have stock that room, so you don't have to draft a quarterback. But, yeah, I think four is a reasonable number. I think so you're going to end up with, you know, Derek Carr's a starter. You're going to have a backup. And then because Taysom Hill is still on the roster, I feel like you're comfortable going with two quarterbacks in the active roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, you know, whoever is third in that line would be probably the practice squad guy where you bump them down there and they can be your emergency quarterback if you need them. The other thing is, you know, when you're talking about Jake, if you do cut Jake, kind of like Ian Book two years ago, he's a guy who got claimed on waivers. So you can't say, oh, yeah, we're going to go with Kellen and then throw Jake Haener on the practice squad because, you know, what if the Broncos, for example, say, hey, you know, we'd like to cut this guy's game. He fits what we want to do. And then they could claim him on waiver. So, yeah, I do think you do want to have those extra bodies in there because you're going to get into the season, and a quarterback who knows the offense is worth its weight in gold at a certain point, especially if you're dealing with injuries.
And along those lines, I want to ask you about Haener. Knowing the offense, how different is it going to be with Pete Carmichael not there anymore? And that's what Haener came in under, and now you got Kubiak.
Yeah, he's going to have to learn a whole new offense. I mean, that's a challenge that every quarterback in this room, other than Kellen Mond, is really going to have to hit the ground running on. You know, one of the reasons you bring in Kellen, and maybe Nathan to some extent, is he's familiar with this scheme, with this situation. So hopefully he can help the other guys as he's competing with them. And, yeah, for Jake, it's tough. I mean, your rookie quarterbacks, you know, it's one of the difficulties with rookie quarterbacks, look at a guy like Justin Fields, you have a different offensive coordinator every year. It's really difficult to develop at the NFL level when you're constantly just trying to get back to a baseline of, hey, I know what I'm doing. And I think that's going to be a challenge for Jake this year. But he's a smart guy. I think he'll be able to figure it out.
Tell me about Kellen Mond. Interesting advantage him because of Kubiak. But tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, I mean, Louisiana football fans will remember Kellen Mond because he kept you up till 2 in the morning back in 2018 for that Texas A&M LSU game and went 7 overtimes.
If still you're going on, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. I think they just entered the 115th overtime.
Yeah.
But yeah, 7 overtimes, 74-72. He's actually the last college quarterback to beat Joe Burrow, funnily enough, because they won the bowl game and then they won every game in 2019, and then Joe went to the NFL. But that's, you know, if you haven't watched the highlights of that game in a while, I recommend you go back and watch it because there's some crazy stuff that happened in that game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire threw a touchdown pass in the 5th overtime of that game. Foster Moreau caught a touchdown in that game. Eric McCoy was Kellen Mond's center in that game. So there's a whole lot of connections there. But, you know, Kellen's
really?
A guy that, yes,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot.
Small world, huh?
Well, I mean, when half your roster is Texas A&M and LSU guys, it makes sense. But,
Makes sense.
You know, you look at Kellen, and he's a guy that, you know, he was a third-round pick, and that's what's interesting to me is you don't draft a guy in the third round, a quarterback in the third round, unless you really like that quarterback and you're willing to develop that quarterback. And so, you know, I'm interested to see how he has developed over the last several years at the NFL level because you really don't get to see that a lot anymore. You don't get to see a guy who spends 4 or 5 years as a backup and then has an opportunity to just become better, become a pro. And I'm interested to see that because I think his accuracy was an issue at the college level. You know, I asked him about, you know, what he has worked on. He said it's mostly been mechanical stuff. And I think that's something that you can improve on at the NFL level because, you know, okay, why are you inaccurate? Okay, you're not set right. Your release point's not right. You know, your weight's in the wrong place. And that's the type of stuff that you can drill and drill and drill as a pro and get better at. So, you know, I'm curious. He's a mobile guy. I think his head's in the right place. You know, if you haven't listened to the interview we did with him on Friday, go back and check it out. I think he's a really, you know, anytime you talk to a quarterback, you're kind of aware you're talking to a quarterback because they're a lot more polished in their answers. They've spent their entire career talking to the media, so they know how to do it well. But I think he's going to be an interesting guy to watch, and I'm rooting for him.
Give me a comparison in the NFL of not that of a starting quarterback in the NFL with whom we're familiar that he would remind you of maybe a little bit, because I'm not trying to say that he's, you know, Patrick Mahomes or this or that or the other one, but just in terms of style of play.
Well, I mean, it's tough because we haven't really seen him play since college. Mm-hmm. You know, he's only got a couple snaps with the Vikings. He didn't get any snaps with the Browns. And so that's what I kind of mean in the sense of he could look like a different player than we remember from college. But I would liken him to like a Tyrod Taylor, a guy who, you know, probably won't be contending to start anywhere, but should be able to develop into a high-level backup. He's mobile. You know, he can extend plays. You know, he can get the ball out of his hands quickly. It's really about, I think it's about processing speed and it's about accuracy. And that's what he needs to show he's improved at if he wants to win that job. But that's probably who I'd comp him to at the NFL level was, you know, probably a career backup ceiling, but a high quality backup if he can develop the way he needs to.
And if you want to keep him out of the game, you got to protect Derek Carr. What are the Saints doing offensive line wise?
You know, we're still kind of waiting and seeing. This is the time of year where not a ton changes. You see some visits. You see some just rumors and innuendo thrown around, smoke screens. This is prime smoke screen season. But right now, you know, it looks like I think Trevor Penning is going to be the guy that they're hoping can start at left tackle. I really do. You brought in Ole Udo as another option, but, you know, he's not a top-end option. He's a guy you probably hope contends to be depth. So I think at left tackle, that's who you're looking at. And at number 14, it's really tough to look at this as a scenario where you don't go offensive tackle. And so I think you're probably drafting a guy that, you know, hopefully Ramczyk can play, but if his knee prevents him from playing, that might be your day one starting right tackle. There's obviously late in the free agency game, you can bring in a few bodies, probably get some guys on a discount. But I think when I'm looking at 14, I'm kind of looking at it and saying, okay, this is a probably our starting right tackle. So who's it going to be? Because you have to at least be prepared for the scenario that that guy has to start on day one. So that's going to be the story of this season. Can you protect Derek Carr? Because if you can't, I don't think the car is going to get very far.
Nope. It's going to be in the shop a lot. We're going to take a break, pick it up here. We come back. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Drafts a week away. We'll talk about Saints picking at 14. Maybe the prospects, them trading up to get whom? What about Brock Bowers? Jeff Nowak wrote an article about that. If he's available, I know he's a very talented player from Georgia, tight end. But what do? You need a right tackle because we don't know about Ramczyk. And then there are questions on defense as well. 504-260-1870. More when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anxious to get back to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. So you wrote a piece, Jeff, about Saints considering Brock Bowers, a Georgia tight end at number 14. You just mentioned right tackle. And what about trading up, as they've been known to do until last year? Thoughts on all of this?
Yes, for trading up, I mean, you know, it's hard to justify a trade up in this situation unless you're going for a quarterback. You'd probably have to get into the top five to go for one of these top quarterbacks. Sounds like J.J. McCarthy is the guy who's flowing up draft boards. So you're talking about the big three of Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Drake May. And then if J.J. McCarthy goes in the top five, there's really no quarterback that would make sense to target if you're trading up. Because you could probably sit at 14, and if you really love Bo Nix or Michael Penix, And I just see that as a tough scenario. So I don't think it really makes sense for them to throw up. Maybe if Joe Alt somehow falls to 9 or 10, which I don't see him getting past 7. But, it's a tough scenario. I think you're probably sitting at 14. And so you look at, okay, who are the options outside of tackle that you might take? And Brock Bowers is the guy who really jumps out as, okay, this is a game-changing type tight end. But then you kind of get into the conversation of, okay, does it really – ever make sense to draft a tight end in the top 15 or even in the first round? And you know, the empirical evidence does not greatly support that as a good idea. You look at the tight ends that have gone recently, and so you can kind of erase the most recent two, which is Dalton Kincaid and Kyle Pitts. They're still on their rookie deals. Dalton Kincaid played well as a rookie. Kyle Pitts played well as a rookie, but I would argue he's kind of disappointed considering he was the fourth overall pick. And then you look at, you know, the dating back to 2017, you have T.J. Hockenson, Noah Fant, Hayden Hurst, O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, David Njoku. All but one of those players is now on a different roster. So some of them are playing very well, but they're not on the roster that drafted them, and they didn't have much of an impact. for the roster that drafted him. The only one that is still on the team that drafted him is David Njoku. Yeah, he was picked at number 29, and I would argue that drafting a tight end at 14 as opposed to 29 is a very big difference. I would endorse taking Brock Bowers in the 20s because the people you have on the board at that point are much different. It also is working against the Saints. That going back to 2000, they've taken six tight ends total in the draft and none earlier than the third round. They spent two third-rounders. One was Adam Troutman in 2020. One was Jimmy Graham in 2010. So they're averaging one third-round pick every 10 years. The Saints have actually only ever picked one first-round tight end in franchise history. It was Irv Smith in 1993. His son is actually in the NFL now, Irv Smith Jr. So, I mean, you put all of those, all that information together, and it kind of equals out to unlikely. As much as I would love to see Brock Bowers in a Saints uniform, it feels very unlikely that you go with a tight end at number 14, just because of all the kind of environmental factors that go into it, the needs that go into it. And it's just a situation the Saints have allowed themselves to get in where they have a very clear need at offensive tackle, and this is a very deep offensive tackle draft.
Give me some names at offensive tackle.
Olufoshanu is the most popular name. He's the guy out of Penn State. And, you know, there's several names that you could look at. It's really just a question of, okay, how does the board shape out? Joe Alt is kind of widely considered to be the top tackle in this class. He's a kind of well-rounded big guy out of Notre Dame. Taliese Fuanga at Oregon State is probably the best run blocker in this draft. He would be my pick if he was on the board at 14. He's been my pick in the mock drafts whenever he's fallen to me, but sometimes he goes to the Jets at 10. Sometimes, you know, Fashanu goes to the Jets at 10 in these mock drafts. And so it's like, okay, who's left?
And who did you say from Oregon State, Fuanga?
Taliese Fuanga. Okay. It's Fuaga, but it's, you know, the Polynesian, there's the Anga. Yeah. It's a whole thing. I asked him how to pronounce his name at the Senior Bowl, so it's the only reason I know how to say it. And then you got J.C. Latham out of Alabama is a very popular pick. Troy Fatanu out of Washington is a popular pick. And, yes, this is very confusing because you have Fuanga, Fashanu, and Fatanu. These names, a lot of Fs. And then if you get further down the board, maybe you decide to trade back. Maybe, you know, for the first time ever, Mickey Loomis is like, hey, we're going to accumulate assets. You could look at a guy like Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. But there's a very clear kind of tier drop-off once you get past the F names and J.C. Latham and these guys, and you kind of get into that second, into the 20s, where these guys need a little bit more work, right? These guys need, probably aren't ready to start right away, but could be a very good offensive tackle if you give them half a season to develop, maybe a full season to develop if Ryan can play. That's probably my ideal scenario, is you get Ryan Ramczyk for this season and you kind of just figure out what he is after that, and you can sit a guy behind him, let him learn from Ramczyk for however many games, and then by the time he goes in, he's ready, as opposed to throwing a rookie into the fire. But those are the names that are most likely, either Fuanga, Fatanu, Fashanu, or maybe a Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma.
Because Alt will be gone?
Oh, yeah. Alt, I think, goes to the Titans at number 7. When you look at, you know, it's funny, I'm currently rewatching all of the broadcast versions of the 2023 games because standing on the sideline, you know, it's the first time I've seen some of these games, because when I come back and watch them, I'll watch the All-22. So I never end up watching the broadcast version. So this is kind of the first time I've heard a lot of the analysis. And going through that Titans game, one of the big issues for the Titans this past season, one of the reasons they had a really hard time getting anything going, was the offensive line was shot. I mean, it was a brand new offensive line. They had four new starters. And I think that the four new starters were not necessarily up to snuff. So, you know, if I'm Brian Callahan or Bill Callahan, whichever Callahan is the head coach, I can't remember who's the son and who's the dad. I think you're trying to build that offensive line up in front of Will Levis, because you're not going to get very far until you do. So I think Alt's off the board, but any of those other guys, I think, could be there at 14. It's just a matter of how it slots out in front of the Saints.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you, trying to put it all together, and I know it's a Rubik's Cube, but of the other teams drafting before the Saints and their needs and who they're likely to pick, and the guys that are likely to be able to tackles that can come in and start the first year, and likelihood of them being available, is this going to work out, do you think?
Well, the numbers work in the Saints' favor if the Saints are looking for a tackle. Now, you don't know which tackle it's going to be. But I think the biggest wild card is the Jets at 10. because, you know, you're talking about a team with Aaron Rodgers for however long. How all in do you want to go this year? Because I think if you can get Aaron Rodgers or Brock Bowers, I mean, that could be a game changer for the Jets. Or do you want to draft a top tackle who can protect him? You know, and so that's kind of, you know, when I look at these drafts, that tends to be the biggest changer of who's available is, okay, if the Jets go Brock Bowers at 10, that just makes it so instead of one of these guys where you're probably looking at your list of four and it's pared down to one, you get to pick between two, maybe three guys. Mm-hmm. But I do think the Saints, you're going to get on the clock at 14 and have one of these top tackles to choose from. And it's a fortunate situation for them to be in, realistically, because this happens to be a draft where you have several top-end quarterbacks. I mean, go back to 2022, and you were like, are we going to have any first-round quarterbacks? This year, the top three picks in the draft are probably going to be a quarterback. And then probably four or five, you're going to see a quarterback off the board. You're going to have two, maybe three top-10 wide receivers. So in other drafts, you might see, okay, this is loaded with tackles, so five of your top eight picks are going to be tackles in this draft because of the quarterbacks, because of the wide receivers. You're seeing these top end tackles get all the way to 14. So from that perspective, I think this does work out in the Saints' favor. And that's why it really doesn't make sense for them to look anywhere else other than, hey, who's your top tackle? Who's the guy you really want? And hey, maybe you do have to trade up a pick or two to get that guy if he's way higher on your board than everybody else. But I do think that a lot of these guys kind of fit the prototypes of what the Saints want to do. It's really just a question of who they want to target.
And they don't know about Ryan Ramczyk yet, and they won't, right?
I mean, I don't know if Ryan knows about Ryan Ramczyk mm-hmm. yet. It's really just a question of how his knee bounces back. It's kind of gone in waves, right? When we talked to Dennis Allen at the Combine, he seemed optimistic about it. And then a month or so later, we talked to him at the owners' meetings, and he seemed a lot less optimistic about it. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see. It's really tough to say. They're hopeful they can get him back. I don't think they're ruling him out, but they have to have a contingency plan in place if he can't play. Because that is very much on the table.
A lot of wild cards in that equation. But give me a wild card pick. Just something that would surprise everybody if the Saints, somebody flying beneath the radar, maybe if the Saints were to surprise everybody and pick him.
At 14?
Yeah.
I'd probably say Michael Penix if they really wanted to give people going nuts. Mm-hmm. If they really just fall in love with one of these quarterback prospects, they don't think he's going to be there at 45, and they can't find a way to trade up for him and late in round one, and they're just like, hey, we think this is the guy. We think this is the quarterback of the future, and we're going to go get him. I think that would be the biggest wild. That would throw everything in flux in terms of what you're expecting for this season, for next season, how the first round shapes out, how the rest of the Saints draft board shapes out. That would be, if I had to pick kind of an off-the-wall
option. That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
That would be it. Michael Penix.
It'd rattle Kellen Mond's world, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time. And we'll look for the stuff that you write, and we'll follow the coverage of all the sports department. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. 1 week away, Saints and the NFL draft. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas next Thursday. Saints draft preview show starts at 4, runs till 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.